Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Time to talk a little hoops with the Hall of Famer, number 17, Chris Mullen. Mullen, how you doing?
Tom, Larry, and Rod, good afternoon.
Hey. Same to you.
How are you, my friend?
Everything's well, man. Everything's good.
Vacation good?
Yeah, I got a few games off. So I just been hanging, man. Not doing a whole lot. Just taking it easy and, watching the games, and that's about it. Play a little golf and back to work on Wednesday. So looking forward to that.
We could spend literally every show talking about Steph and what he's done, what he's meant, how he plays, his greatness. I mean, all those things. I mean, just from your standpoint, because when you think about Wilt Chamberlain, I mean, any scoring list, it's like just guess Wilt and work your way from there. I mean, it's incredible to think this guy is more than likely going to pass Wilt tonight, and if not, it'll be shortly. What can you say about this guy that hasn't been said? I mean, it's amazing what this guy does, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be tonight. He's only 19 points. He might get that in the first quarter. It'll be tonight. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Tommy, and rightfully so. You know, you run out of words to describe Steph's his play. His incredible historic career has just been one milestone after another, and changing the game, the way it's played, the way it's viewed. I think the way the younger players coming up work on their game. And so, yeah, he's had such an impact. Devastating, best shooter of all time, and three-point shooting, his floaters, his pull-up game, his ball handling, passing, playing off the ball. So no matter what you do to him, and I think this season really is kind of an epitome of what he's become, because this year with with Clay out and all the defenses focused on him, it's just been incredible to see he has an answer for everything that the defenses throw at him. I think he's shown another level of patience and IQ. That Milwaukee game last week was kind of epitome of what he's done this season, where first half he has 11 points. Kind of, he's getting double teamed and, open up opportunities for his teammates. And then in the second half, he goes for 31, all the while looking at, Drew Holiday, who I thought did a great job on him. I thought he played him really well. And anytime he came off screens, there was two people there. And most of the three-point shot, he was 5 or 10 from three. Those five threes, there was always two people contesting. So he ends up, 14 of 21. 5 of 10 from three, 8 of 9 from the free throw for 41 points. And really, I bet you Bud Boonehole's like, we played good defense and we execute our game plan. So that's the level he's risen his game to. And then, tonight when he does break the record, I think, of course it's significant, all-time leader in points in franchise history. There's been a lot of great players. But when, as you mentioned, Tommy, you mentioned Wilt Chamberlain. That's a whole different level. That's like but I looked up. So Wilt had 118 50-point games. The next player is Michael Jordan at, I think it's 31 or 38. So it's like Wilt and everybody else in all those. So for Steph to do that and do it in completely opposite way as far as, Wilt was inside and dunking, his Steph, 6'3", 185, whatever he is, and kind of normal-sized person, always doing it from the perimeter. So it's been amazing to watch. I remember watching his the first time I saw him live was at Madison Square Garden. They played West Virginia. And he had a good game, but there was something about him. I was telling someone last week, I knew who he was and I watched him on TV, but that night I couldn't take my eyes off him. When he had the ball, he was doing something crazy. Then we gave the ball up. He's also you couldn't take your eyes off him. I don't think anyone could have predicted this greatness, but we're you know, fortunate and blessed to have him here. And I think the other part that sets him apart is his humility, his integrity, and his class and grace that he does virtually everything with. You know, of course, his game, you know, we see that, but you know, when the way he conducts himself on and off the court, he's been a model for all of us to emulate. Really, he's been a treasure for us here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think two things that jump out to me, other than just the obvious things, and one of them's fairly obvious, and one of them isn't, is his ability to continue to move, and then he'll stop and wait for a guy to fall asleep. And they always fall asleep. They generally always fall asleep, and he picks the right time. Right when they fall asleep, he moves and he relocates, or he goes to the other side of the court, and guys are looking around like, where is he? And all he needs is a half a step, and he just gets that shot off, and he's money. And the ball handling. I mean, his ball handling has probably improved as much as his finishing around the rim in his time in the NBA, and that allows him to escape and get that step or half a step he needs to get a shot off, where other guys can't because they're just not as creative and don't have the ability with their ball handling to not only get away, escape, but bounce that right into a shot where you got total control of the ball and it's bam, bam, boom, and you're right into a jump shot and guys can't get you. Those two things, I think, really allow him to kind of take that other step where it's like some guys maybe could do some of the stuff he does, not all of it, but they couldn't get off shots because they wouldn't have the patience to be able to wait for someone to fall asleep and then move and then kind of wear him out a little bit, and then the ball handling to get him to escape and then go up with shots.
Yeah, and those things you're talking about, Tommy, are all things that take incredible discipline and work ethic. Mm-hmm. And dedication to master those skills. You talk about his ball handling, be able to handle the ball left hand, right hand equally as efficiently, and finishing in the paint with left and right floaters, and you know, and he works on these things so much. So I mean, that's where I think everyone respects him so much, because the stuff he's doing takes so much time to master, and he keeps adding things to his game. To where I said, I mean, it's really, this year, the thing why it's been so much amazing watching him this year for me is because more than ever, the defenses are keyed on him. Because, you know, with Clay out of the lineup, mm-hmm. they got some young guys that are just not there yet, and they don't have the consistent play around him. And he's actually been better. And that is true greatness. And that's putting him on a whole nother level. And that's why he's going to be up there when it's all said and done with the Wilts and the Jordans and the LeBrons. He's going to be up there because of, you know, the things he keeps adding to his game, and his legacy just continues to grow.
Yeah, and I was telling the guys last week that he kind of reminds me a little bit of you, Chris, in that, you know, he without Clay this year, the windows are small, and he's got to be able to get his shot off in a crowd, sometimes with a defender lurking from behind, sometimes with a defender off to the side. But the defenses are so focused on him that the windows are smaller this year, and he's found a way to operate in those windows and beyond that. I mean, succeed and dominate still in those small windows. And it does remind me of what you did with the Warriors, where you would create just a little bit of a window for yourself and still have those shoulders squared, still go up absolutely straight and get that shot off. I wanted to ask you about Wiseman, though, Chris, because I want to – what do you think – I'm not questioning the Warriors, because now the season looks like it's done for Wiseman, but I think Wiseman would have benefited from some G League time, just out of the frying pan, just getting to run up and down. Just when I see what it did for Mannion, what it did for Jordan Poole, I know there's a stigma with the G League that, you know, if you picked in the lottery or the top three, you don't want to play in the G League. I get all that, but – I just think that when I look at the kid's face and I look at his skill set and I look at the Warriors kind of caught in between trying to play for today and develop, man, he would have enjoyed a nice 10-game run in the G League. What do you think?
Yeah, the only thing with that, and first, the first thing you said, there's very Steph Curry, that was what I was alluding to, the Milwaukee game, him operating with those small windows. And I think he's gotten so used to it, it doesn't even bother him. And he'll go deeper, and you can contest and foul him. He just makes shots. The reason Steph's in closed windows is because they're double and triple teaming. The reason I had a closed window, I couldn't get open. I couldn't move like Steph. But as far as Wiseman goes, yeah, I mean, look, getting confidence is of most importance for any athlete. You know, everyone needs their confidence. The thing with you know, he was getting minutes, though, you know. So, really, guys who don't play at all, they don't want to just have them sitting over on the bench. And, you know, as the season goes on, there's no practice time. And he wind up really not doing a whole lot of anything. So, if they're not playing at all, I think, you know, they need to go down and play a game. He was getting minutes. The one thing about this season, what's going to be really refreshing, I think, for him when we get back to somewhat of a normal schedule, I think he'll really improve quickly with just the normal NBA flow of practice days and game days, you know, coming back in the evening and working out. So you don't have to always, you know, between the COVID protocols and not practice time has been cut back because you need your rest and all these different things. This has not been a season for a rookie to break into the NBA. It's been anything but that. So I think the inconsistencies all around across the board has influenced his inconsistent play. And I think once it gets back to, and when we can get back to some of no, I think he'll really improve really quickly. He's shown incredible athleticism, speed. I think he has really good instincts. He just had a hard time playing to his exact strengths. I thought, you know, he showed flashes of everything, but didn't figure out exactly what he needed to bring to that particular game every night. You know, we saw him flashes of, you know, of brilliance several times. And most of the time was playing at the end of plays where his teammates created for him, finishing, you know, lobs, finishing, catching in the paint and finishing. But, you know, he can pick and pop. He's got all the skills. But when you're playing in the games, you want to just play strictly to your strengths. And in the off season, you know, work on your you know, skill set, but you only want to use it in the game when you perfect it. You know, I think even in the short term, his free throw shooting, he can work on that. That'll help him, I think, be more aggressive in the paint, yeah, to draw fouls, as opposed to sometimes when you're not shooting the free throw, you rather fade away or not even go get contact. I think that'll help his game. But I think he's going to be a heck of a player. I saw enough of him and saw so many positive things from him that, you know, I think there's a bright, bright future for him and the Warriors moving forward.
It's our weekly conversation with Chris Mullin joining us here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. Couple of things. The Warriors are not just getting absolutely housed on the boards as of late, as they had been for, unfortunately, too many times this season. And the playing defense without fouling thing, they seem to be getting better at that as well. I can only think of one instance off the top of my head, Chris, where player just did something that just wasn't smart. I think it was Damian Lee against the Rockets, fouled a guy with only a few seconds left on the shot clock, or he went for the okey-doke, guy got him up in the air, and then jumped into him. But for the most part, those two problems, season-long problems for the Warriors, they really haven't crept up here in these last few games.
Yeah, rebounding is some of its size, athleticism. The other is just being in position. You know, that actually starts on your offensive end with shot selection and, you know, transition defense and things like that. When they play small, they're at a you know, disadvantage. But I think the ones you really got to look at is the, you know, second chance points when they do get offensive rebounds and you know, score consistently. They've been okay defensive rebounding wise. I think probably in the middle of the pack. And their field goal defense has been really good, top five, I think, all season. So they've done a good job there. But like you said, what they've done, the mental mistakes, you know, fouling, you know. So when you have a small margin of error, you can't give up turnovers. You can't give up extra free throws. A lot of that, I think, becomes more frustrating because a lot of that stuff is mental. It's the scouting report and your awareness and your decision-making. A lot of those things are not really physical or athletic deficiencies. It's a mental awareness. Some of it could be experience. You know, the younger players, I think, are more apt to get in the game and overreact and leave their feet. So that's an experience thing. But we've seen veteran players do it as well. So, I mean, sometimes it's, overzealous and enthusiasm, but the decision-making would have to be questioned.
Do you think I don't think this is a really high basketball IQ team. I think they struggle with that sometimes. I think they got a lot of good they got some good players, but I don't think they're instinctual. Like when I watch them play, stuff breaks down a little bit. I'm not sure that they can handle that. What do you think about this team? Because I hate, because you're essentially calling a team stupid, and that's not really what I'm saying. It's just they don't have that feel. I guess for people that know what I'm talking about, they just don't have that feel for the game. Like, oh, broke down, I got it. We know exactly what we're doing here, and we got this. Or, hey, I can adjust on the fly and do this, do that. I think in structure, they can get it done. But sometimes when it's not structured and things go a little haywire, this team struggles a little bit.
Yeah, Thomas, I think a lot of that, too, is really understanding your own game. You know, having confidence and awareness of what your game is, much like I was alluding to with James Wiseman. He's got all the skills. He has all the talent. But what's the best thing for me to do, you know, right now to help this team win? You think about their roster, you know, Steph, Draymond, Oubre, and Wiggins. Those are the guys who have the experience, and you know what their games are.
Right.
For the most part, the rest of the roster is still establishing themselves. You know, they're good players. I'm not quite sure they even know exactly what their specific strengths and weaknesses are. And when you do that, you kind of go into that each game with a different mindset. As a, you know, and from a coaching standpoint, you just want to know what each guy's going to do every night. And that's been hard to find after those first four guys. And I think it coincides with experience, just you know, years in the league. I put Bazemore has, you know, much more time in the league. We kind of know his game now. But the rest of those guys being either on the younger side or just inexperienced, I think that leads to indecision, and then on a night-to-night basis, not knowing exactly what they're going to bring to the game.
You know, Chris, you were in this role as well because you were a lottery pick and you've been a general manager, so you have a unique perspective on this. But I was mentioning to the guys before that Steph, you know, Larry Riley and Nelly drafted Steph against his will, so to speak, that he kind of said, I'd rather not be there. And they said, well, you know what, if you're there, we're taking you. And it changed the whole future of this franchise. And I'm sure you probably felt, I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, but that maybe the Warriors weren't your favorite spot on draft night, and eventually you made this your home. But I mean, that to me, I mean, I credit Riley and Nelly for having the fortitude to have the courage of their personnel evaluation convictions and to take a player. They knew Steph had great character, so they knew it wouldn't go south, but you're also investing a lottery pick in a guy who's kind of stated he doesn't want to be there. I admire those guys for having the strength to face that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steph was high on that draft board. I do know that. He was higher than most teams had him. He was way up top, for sure, from strictly from a talent skill standpoint. And, you know, you talk about Nelly and Larry Riley. That's a lot of experience, a lot of draft rooms, and a lot of he's heard those threats before. Nelly didn't care about that.
Right.
But, you know, because, you know, the guy's on a four-year deal. And, look, there was, you know, Tommy knows this, like playing for the Clippers. You know, yeah, there was some upheaval and things like that. So, yeah, it might not have been your first choice, but you got a lot of time to change that. And basketball, more than any other major sports, one player makes a huge difference. One slot in that draft makes a tremendous difference. And, you know, you just got to look at, you know, where Steph could have went. You know, he went 7. He could have went, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And with, you know, it's a whole different ball game. I'm sure Minnesota feels that way. But, yeah, you know, that experience – you know, I had talked to Nelly the year before and leading up to it. Steph was one of the top guys of that draft. I know that for sure. That was a fact.
You know, when you went
way before 7. They liked him way before 7. I know that for a fact.
In '85, when you got drafted by the Warriors, And it's still an outrage, by the way, that Klein and Konkak got drafted before you. That's still
size, man.
What's going on there?
That size. That's all it was.
Wasn't like you had a bunch of great options. I mean, you had Clippers and Atlanta, Sacramento. I mean, teams that just were struggling back then. But what did you know about the Warriors? Because that kind of stuff really didn't go on back then, where agents were flying in saying, "Don't draft my guy." You just went where you got. Where you got drafted. But did you, I don't know if I've ever asked you, did you ever have any preferences? Did you think you were going to the Warriors? Did you, know about the Warriors and the style of play? I mean, just what was the draft night like? And were you like, okay, cool, Warriors?
No, I do remember watching the lottery. And then once the Knicks got number one, obviously I wanted to stay home. I was, I stayed home for school, and it wasn't easy for me just to stay home. So when the Knicks got number one, I knew that was out. And after that, I think I only visited one. I think I visited Cleveland, and I was doing everything wrong there. I was not trying to go to Cleveland.
Aren't you left-handed?
This is not the guy we saw in the Big East.
They gave a written test. It was a personality test, and I circled B for every answer and just said, "I'm out of here, dude." I did it 10 minutes. I said, "Let me get out of here, man. I'm not trying to come here." But as far as the Warriors, we used to catch maybe once in a while, like a late tape delay game. Bernard King had been, I knew of Bernard King because he was a Brooklyn guy. Mm-hmm. My agent, Bill Pollack, represented Bernard. And he loved this area. Bill Pollack, my agent, loved the Bay Area. So I didn't know a whole lot about it. I didn't know a whole lot about California. I had only been out to L.A. But much like Larry brought up Steph, without knowing, some reservations. But over time, I've been here virtually my whole adult life, and feel blessed and fortunate that it turned out that way.
You're just answering all B's. Yeah, B. Really? All B's? Yeah, just here, take it. We're good.
Attitude problem.
Yeah. Plus I was like, dude, I'm a basketball player. I've taken tests for 4 years. St. John, I'm like, gotta take another test? Come on, man. I'm done with tests.
How was the golf game this weekend?
Oh, it was, as usual, erratic.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful out. Beautiful, beautiful weather. And I think that day when I text you, Tom, I think I got 13 holes in. I got a few pars in there,
Nice.
A few pars, a few lost ball. I got it covered. I got everything covered.
We'll have to get out and play one of these days. Get out there and swing the sticks around. To the family, I said hi. It's always great talking to you, Mully. And we'll talk to you again
Larry,
this
Rod.
Week.
My pleasure. Have a good afternoon.
Yep.
See you guys.
Thanks, Mom.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.